Okay, welcome to another edition of the Legion of Reason Diversion. I am your host, the Supreme Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson. I am joined by, right now, Twyla. Christine will join us later. And we got, so we're redoing this course the because of the shoddy audio. I was going to say something else. that happened last time. It was a cluster, you know what. And we're going to redo the topics. I know the audio is working, and Christine can let me know if it's not. We got a bunch of things today that happened in the interim. We're going to revisit the topics we talked about last time, where the David Stefan and his appearance at a bunch of these health and wellness expos across Canada. There was also in Georgetown University in Georgian University in Ontario had was planning on having a homeopathy diploma program, and because of public reaction, they have since dropped it. We'll take a look at that, and another allegation of sexual misconduct in the skeptic / atheist community. This time it's Lawrence Krauss in a piece by BuzzFeed, of all things. I mean, that tawdry rag that you're already sensing where I'm going to go with this, because it's already a kind of a seedy, the whole thing is seedy. There's something wrong here. It's hinky. That's all I got to say. And yeah, I think we're going to talk about that first. So I'm going to, bring up the, come on, Skype. You can wave hello. Twyla, there's Twyla. Say, there she is.
Hi. Okay.
And I'm gonna go to the BuzzFeed article.
Is that the article where they're talking about him being some kind of an atheist superstar or something instead of a scientist too?
Yeah. Well, he is a scientist. He does science. He's a cosmologist. He's written some of the most important papers in cosmology. This is coming up later. Yeah. That's coming up. Maybe I should actually say this. So just as a PSA, October 22nd, Richard Dawkins and Carolyn Porco are going to be in Calgary, and I'm looking forward to that. If you haven't bought your ticket, just be prepared for a painful experience with Arts Commons, which is the website that you get it from.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My God. My blood pressure was through the roof. I'm actually going to talk to them. They've expressed interest in my... I gave it a zero rating, the website.
For their ticket buying experience.
The user experience, the UXP, is abominably bad. And lots of things. I would resign before letting something like this roll out. It was just that bad. It was mostly in the registration. So once you're registered, and you can buy your ticket, and it's not so... even then, there was an issue, but which, again, failed, which resulted in me not getting my ticket, actually. Until I phoned them. I'll get it. I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, so that's coming up in October. And, of course, when is the... the Alberta
May.
Secular
the
Conference.
Other one, the Alberta.
I think 9th to 11th. There's a bunch of speakers going to be there. Ali Rizvi's going
to
be.
I forgot to bring that one up.
Yeah, I forgot to too. I just remembered to bring it up. But anyway.
But we can bring it up again when we bring it up and have this, because there's some really good speakers coming that I'm looking forward to seeing. And not Caroline's not coming to that, unfortunately. I remember seeing for her for INR, and it was so amazing. So I might get a ticket for the one in October yet if they fix that one issue with buying them. Otherwise, I'll have to.
Well, you can always phone the Arts Commons and do it that way. But you wouldn't be able to get an electronic ticket that you could print off at home, and that's what I prefer.
Or get it on my phone.
I'm one of these people that doesn't like to interact with human beings when buying something. I mean, it's, I don't know, I just I'm an introvert, and antisocial in some ways. I just prefer to not bother with dealing with people. It's just why the internet is perfect. But this almost made me, it's almost made it worth it to interact with a person. So, well, actually,
well,
it did.
It was
bad.
Phone.
I had to phone eventually, and yeah. Anyway, I'm griping. let's go on to the Lawrence Krauss thing. BuzzFeed. I'm going to bring up the BuzzFeed thing here. Let's see. Where is it? It is no. Here it is. Okay. So, oh, this is the original one. That's before. Oh no, this is BuzzFeed, by the way. I'll save it for later. Here's the piece. The Unbeliever. Look at this. I mean, it's just stretched across the screen. The Unbeliever. Blah blah blah. And okay, when Melody Hensley first met Lawrence Krauss, she was a 29-year-old makeup artist at a department store, and he was one of her intellectual idols. You see see where this is going with the framing? Like, I didn't care if he flirted with me. I just wanted to be around somebody important, and I also wanted to get a job in this field, Hensley told BuzzFeed News. I thought I could handle myself.
How is she going to get a job in that field? Was she
I don't know.
School
I don't
for
know.
It or like a makeup
I mean,
artist?
She's not,
to...
Yeah, she's not a cosmologist.
Really?
What was the field? She is the director for CFI Washington. And where have I heard her name before? I'm just like, where have I heard her name? Oh yeah. She had an interesting interaction with Peter Boghossian. And he questioned her PTSD, how she got PTSD online. Somebody storified her tweets, and she said she was being that amounted to harassment, which it does not. We're talking someone who is into the drama. So I find her to be a less than credible witness.
Well, and to claim PTSD, it kind of minimizes actual experiences with post-traumatic stress.
It absolutely does.
I mean, people that go through, she's minimizing what trauma A is and B, what post-traumatic stress disorder is then. And that upsets me. I'm sorry. But
it's typical behavior for the attention getter, right? And I this could very well be, I can't say she's lying. I don't know. But I can say that there's a history, and you know that this whole you can read about this in the BuzzFeed thing. But here's something I really wanted to draw attention to. Where is it now? Yeah, this paragraph right here. But Krauss says his movement is getting more diverse, not less, which is actually true. He is politically liberal, decrying sexism, racism, and the fear of people who are different, and is a vocal critic of Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, he definitely is. And yet he's not always politically correct. And again, so. where they're saying that religion drives xenophobia, it does. Dismissing burqa-clad Muslims as women in bags, he's not dismissing them. He's deriding a culture and a religion which minimizes women. It's trying to make them disappear. Why does BuzzFeed, why do these authors don't have a problem with that? I don't understand this whole, I'm such a feminist that I'm okay with Muslim misogyny. Like, it's like saying I'm so nonconformist that I'm going to become conformist. I mean, it's just, come on. And, you know, and he's announcing that a statue looks like Jesus on the toilet. So, or tweeting articles arguing that Me Too has gone too far. By the way, I've posted this same article on the web, our Facebook page. So, yeah, because the Me Too has gone. It could have been a very important movement, but instead you get all these people getting onto the bandwagon and, you know, minimizing real sexual assault. You know, and saying, oh, it happened to me too. Somebody touched me on the knee. I actually saw that. I can't believe it. Women do that to men all the time. Oh, you know.
It's almost like BuzzFeed is reveling in the chance to really give it to atheists with this too. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. They. This is a hit piece. This is a hit piece, and this is an excuse to take down Lawrence Krauss. Now, it might come to light that there is real evidence, but that hasn't happened so far. We've had an allegation, and what they say in this article is funny. Somewhere in here, many of the women didn't come forward because they, you know, didn't want to, to avoid any litigation or harassment. And I'm like, many? How many were there? Were there hordes?
In the Me Too movement, women come forward when there's evidence to give their voice. They don't hide in the background when there's strong evidence for it. They band together and come together. It's not based on one woman saying, oh, there's many women.
Yeah, and Hammond, here's the article that he tweeted about the Me Too thing, where Catherine Deneuve and others denounced the Me Too movement. Yeah, there's it had its problems. Absolutely. And I don't see why BuzzFeed doesn't see that. Yeah, well, exactly. What else we got here? Did Christine tweet at us or Skype at us? I'm not sure.
Not for this, no.
Oh, let me know if Christine messages us.
Okay. She'll probably join after.
Oh, she will. She'll join after, but I saw something, a mess. Anyway, it might come to light that there's evidence, but right now it's he said, she said. And but you got these, the problem, this is the problem with the Believe Her movement, is that it's not just Believe Her, it's really about Believe Her and Hang Him. You know,
it's supposed to be Believe Them. It's usually not one woman. There's usually complaints to HR. There's usually already things and complaints and incidences already brought forward before it goes to the media. It's not right. Go to the media and then have these things happen. It's usually
in the court of social media,
and then you go to the media.
Yeah, and by the way, there is a tweet from. Let me bring this up here. Where's that tweet? Here we go. Chrome browser window. Yeah, ASU has received no complaints from ASU students, faculty, or staff related to Lawrence Krauss. The university
Shouldn't
has initiated. Yeah, you'd think there would be if there. This is prime hunting grounds for a sexual predator, a university. The university has initiated a review in an attempt to discern the facts. We encourage anyone who has concerns about faculty, staff, or students to report those concerns, which is exactly the stance they should be taking. We're going to investigate this, see where the chips fall. And you got people like Hammond Mehta or P.Z. Myers that are saying, well, I believe them. What do you mean by them? We only know of one person. We have to take BuzzFeed's word for it that there were others. And apparently it was many, because many of the women didn't come forward.
And why not?
Unnamed sources.
Many of the women come forward because they know their voices lend credibility.
Exactly.
To things that are reported already, things that have already been given to HR or to staff or to, you know, in these cases, convention people who run the conventions and such. Yeah. So where was this again? Like,
there's somebody tweeted
at.
Oh, but sorry. Where did we talk?
Where is she saying this incident took place, and what did he do exactly?
It was a kiss, sounded like a conference. Yeah, I don't know. He said there was consensual. Whatever happened there was consensual. she's saying it wasn't, and you know, the nature of these of allegations like this, it's hard to prove. But it's also hard to disprove, and you've got people like Hemant Mehta and PZ Myers out there who are, you know, pulling on the axeman's hat, or you know, the thing that covers their heads, you know, sharpening their axes.
So, I shall stand by, wait for the evidence myself. A little more than this, at least.
Exactly, please. And if they happen to be right, I'm not going to congratulate them. They got, you know, they jumped to a conclusion and got it right. Well, who cares? That's not to be congratulated. That's why we have due process. We don't. The court of social media can be incredibly hard. Some people deserve it, like Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, he deserved it.
And there was a lot of women, and there was a lot of backup for that.
There was a ton,
including HR.
There was a ton. In this case, there doesn't seem to be any prior history. He certainly hasn't been a problem at the university that he you know works at. Melody Hensley's prior issues, shall we say, that are kind of questionable. She's not exactly the most credible person, and it may turn out that I'm wrong.
Yeah. Okay, ladies, the many of you, you need to lend your voice then. Come on out. Melody started it. Finish it.
The whole thing was... I want to bring up a couple of situations. Where is it? Let's see if I can find... The Gerald Stanley verdict. I mean, this is another one where Gerald Stanley was convicted in the court of public opinion. But there's a real problem with that. He was charged with second degree murder and the shooting of Colton Bushi. And I looked at the testimony, which was very iffy, it changed and wasn't exactly credible. Not to mention the forensic evidence, which was. Nobody could explain the one shell casing that had the bulge in it. That's a heck of a lot of reasonable doubt in my mind. I would have voted the same way.
I'm just not that familiar with the case. I know that it's a very heart-wrenching case, and
sure, absolutely.
I've heard just bits and pieces. So could you give a little more background? I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's... I can't remember if it was four or five people. They were in an SUV and they were drunk. Bushi was 22, was one of them. And they tried to break into several vehicles on their other farms and then drove up to this, to the Stanley farm near Bigger Saskatchewan. And they started trying to steal an ATV. You know, they just noticed these people, you know, they weren't coming to ask for help. They weren't, you know, they had a flat tire that was on the rims, and they started driving around the farm. And Gerald Stanley, who owned the farm, thought his wife had been run over, so he ran to get an old antique Russian pistol.
Oof.
And fired warning shots. And that's not in dispute. Then he thought that thought the weapon was empty, went up to the vehicle, and he does not believe that he pulled the trigger again, the bullet hit Bushi in the back of the head and killing him. This is a terrible that there was a loss of life, but I've seen some characterizations of it that Stanley was protecting his property. He wasn't protecting his property. He thought his wife had been run over.
I didn't even know that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
In his mind, he was protecting his family, too. I would have been okay with a self-defense defense. There's certainly grounds for that. And I don't even understand why he was charged. The only reason I see that is the optics. You know, and there was another case recently. Somebody was found not guilty of murdering, I can't remember her name, in Winnipeg. And there was just no evidence. And yeah, he probably, that guy probably did do it, but you can't give a guilty verdict on, yeah, he probably did it. That's not good enough. And people want to have wholesale changes of our legal system. This is the same thing we have with rape, et cetera. I mean, we, you know, there's somebody we know that has put forward the argument that because rape accusations are rarely false, which is not true. I would not call 2 to 8% rare.
It's too actually, high, and those women need to be convicted.
It's actually more than that.
Because
it's
then
20%.
They delegitimize the ones that do go to court, and the women who do go to court, they get dragged through hell. There's a lot of women that don't go to court because A, the evidence is weak, and B,
it's the nature of
the
crime.
Why would you, when there are false accusations, and you're going to get accused of that if the evidence is weak too?
Yeah. Here's the problem with the Just Believe Her movement. Let me see if I can find it. No, here's that's later. Where is it? Frangula. I'm not gonna. Here's the problem with woman jailed for 10 years for making series of false rape claims. Now I know this is unusual, but don't say it doesn't happen. This woman is the sole cause for. Basically, four investigations, four separate incidents of sexual assault is what she claimed, and one of which led to someone being wrongly convicted. And this is one of the rare cases when the person who's making these false claims has actually been tried. That's actually very rare. And there was another... Oh, yeah, here's another case. Remember the case with the three... where one female Toronto police officer claimed that she was raped by three other Toronto police officers?
No.
She was claiming that she couldn't walk or barely could walk or because she was so drunk. The problem with that is that there was actually footage of her walking just fine in a straight line. Her testimony just did not match up. But one of the things... this is what the judge, Anne Malloy, or is it Anne Malloy? No, it's, I think I got that right.
This is a female judge anyway.
It was a female judge. So it was Anne Malloy. She said this, although the slogan "Believe the Victim" has become popularized of late, it has no place in a criminal trial.
Not in trial. In trial, you have to prove. I mean, I'm one of those people that didn't understand what happened to me at the time. I didn't go to the police because I didn't understand. And then I waited too long and the police tracked me down because of other people that knew that I worked for this individual. They finally tracked me down and explained to me what did happen and what happened to multiple other women. But in cases like this, you just make it harder for people like me to go and give our evidence. I mean... If it goes to trial, be honest.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
The Gomeshi trial. Don't try to make your case.
Yeah. Gian Gomeshi, who was accused choking? Basically choking someone during sex to the point of unconsciousness. Anyway.
There's going to be marks then.
Yeah, the testimony was, well, they didn't go to the police for a long time, right? The testimony was so – they sandbagged it. They sandbagged their own prosecution. They didn't tell the police that they were sending love notes to Gian Gomeshi all along.
That weakens their case. You have to be upfront about every little thing.
Absolutely. And, of course, Gomeshi's lawyer brought that up. Are you kidding me? What do they think it was going to just – oh, he's going to forget that? No. You know,
she's going to try to defend himself. Sheesh.
I have no problem saying that something happened in that case. I just don't know what. And that's why there was too much of a chance of collusion. That was another problem with the plaintiffs. This is in Britain. Police must stop training officers to believe rape complainants automatically, says High Ex Court judge. And the reason is because it collapsed that very kind of mindset where we're going to find this guy guilty and ignore the exculpatory evidence.
It used to be we were too far the other way where it was never believer. Now it's always believer. We need to come in the middle somewhere.
Exactly. And I'm not saying this happens often.
This is starting to upset me too.
I'm not saying this happens often. I'm saying it happens often enough.
Yeah. And it's upsetting. Like for women that go through things and you want the guys punished for it so it doesn't happen again. And you see people that get away with it over and over and take advantage of young people that don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, you can believe something happened and that the person who claims to be a victim should be, you know, treated with dignity, respect, and when receive the services that they need and still not, you know, put the noose around somebody else's neck until you've got the requisite evidence.
And if you're going to put yourself out there to the courts, be honest about every little thing.
So this really kind very much is disconcerting with what the current public opinion is of courts. It seems too much like we wanted him guilty. You know, you didn't want the truth. You just wanted the guy guilty.
And what happens
and
when
things work.
That's what I hate about American stuff too, because if you look at what happened when where the black guy killed the white wife and
what?
He pretty much got off for it and then he went to jail for something else.
What's that?
Nikki or good Lord, I'm bad with names, but at the time it turned into this whole white versus black thing instead of the fact that somebody was killed.
I'm not familiar, but anyway.
He just got out of jail here not too long ago, too, for the other conviction.
Oh.
That's why I'm so mad. I can't remember his name right now. When it gets to... That's why I respect Canada's system so much more. Canada's political system, Canada's criminal justice system. It becomes less in the news, but when it gets in the news, it's because the person, the perpetrator, basically makes it worse, which is what we're going to get to with the Stefan case.
Yeah. In the United States, it's kind of a hodgepodge because it's a republic, and so every state has its own laws. I mean, there's a lot of positions like judges that are elected positions. Coroners can be elected. That might be an elected position. I find that bizarre. And so it's not necessarily judges here are appointed. That's it. That's all there is to it. You get appointed by the government of the day. And they do a reasonably good job of it. I mean, we've got an awesome Supreme Court and have for decades, as far as I can tell. And I can't disagree with any of the major decisions that kind of cross my some of the earlier cases where they were talking about medical assistance and dying and denied it, but the reason was they didn't have enough information, and that's a perfectly valid response. Okay, we don't know, so we're just going to uphold the law for the moment. And of course then later on the law was challenged again, and Supreme Court has the data from other places like Europe and that had medical assistance in dying for quite a while already, and they looked at it, and they were convinced that this is the way to go. And they struck down the laws preventing physicians from assisting people who request. And we still have a too restrictive law. I think is
are we going to
violate the spirit
on that one?
Sure, we're done. This one. There's a reason why Chris isn't on, but I won't get into that. It's not because of philosophical differences. Let's put it that way. Where is she? Come on, Chris.
And she did mention
there she is. Okay. All right.
Hi.
Good. Professional reasons that I feel I should refrain from discussion.
Yeah. It's yeah. I completely understand that, and I've talked to Christine about this, and I can totally
I hope Yvette doesn't find us too extreme or unfair.
Well, we did have an angry face on our Facebook chat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Sorry, Yvette. I hope you didn't find us horribly biased or anything. I'm sorry.
Hang on. I have to adjust my sound here.
I have strong opinions on this, and I fully expect people to disagree with them.
Yeah.
But you have to tell me why.
Exactly. And we welcome that discussion, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Because there we go. Sorry.
Because this is a really... Oh, what's the term? There's no perfect solution. And, you know, let's put it this way. I believe in Blackstone's formulation, in that I believe that 100 people, 100 perpetrators should go free before one man is innocent, but found, incarcerated. And I just butchered Blackstone's formulation. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what our laws are founded on. That's what our legal system is founded on from the day, hundreds of years ago in Britain. And this is the thing. We find people guilty or not guilty. We don't find them innocent.
Which is why we found Stefan guilty.
Yeah, Stefan was guilty. So we're going to go.
Mr. Stefan Sr. got people's backup, and well, we all saw what happened.
Yeah.
Am I able to go into my rant about?
Yeah, you can. I just want to get some background about this because upcoming.
That's basically
March,
what all mine is background.
Oh, it's background too. But I'm going to talk about. I just want to mention that there's a Calgary Health and Wellness Expo.
Yep.
Coming
that
up.
Should,
in
we
March.
Should mention that after.
After. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because I want to talk about. It was David Stefan that killed his son, right? And. I'm sorry to say, but I'm going to quote one article where it says that. But I want to talk first about Tony, Anthony Stefan. This is the grandfather of the child that died. And the reason why it came to my attention is because I started getting on the internet around 2003, and Terry Polavoy was already there taking down quackery. And this interested me because I had never... off of the internet, never seen such great takedowns of quackery in my life. I was thrilled to see it because I'd been speaking against him pretty much ever since I went to college. And I was so frustrated about the bias out there. I never saw anything like Terry Polavoy's anti-quackery takedowns. And I loved it. So, and way back in 2003, he co-authored an ebook called Pig Pills with Marvin Ross and Ron Reinhold, who is a former Health Canada inspector and private detective. These people know what they're doing. The book is the result of a 2.5-year investigation of Tony Stefan, and David Hardy, their nutraceutical known as Empower Plus, incidentally, True Hope's product. The publication of the book resulted in major actions by Health Canada against this Synergy Group of Canada and their True Hope support organizations. They sold a concoction to unwary customers who had serious mental health problems, schizophrenia, bipolar, depression. Their research, however, did not have the approval of Health Canada, and you'll see why here in a moment. True Hope is an Alberta company co-founded by Anthony Stefan, a man whose wife committed suicide after a struggle with bipolar, and they had many children who faced mental illness as well. He was a pig farmer. Stefan saw a similarity between his children's mental health problems and pigs with ear and tail biting syndrome. So these pigs bite ears and tails, and he equated that to his children's mental illness. So since he saw that this pig syndrome is treated with nutritional supplements, he and his colleague created a human version. So fast forward to 2012. A gentleman, I think he was about in his 20s at the time, kills his father and beats his mother after taking True Hope pills. The supplement was being marketed to treat bipolar disorder, anxiety, panic attacks, ADHD, schizophrenia, autism, Tourette syndrome, fibromyalgia, OCD, without a doctor's supervision, without an approved drug identification number, and at the time of the murder, True Hope claimed it was a revolutionary micronutrient formula proven effective in reducing or eliminating the symptoms of bipolar, anxiety, depression, ADHD. They claim 16 medical journal publications, plus many individual doctor observations, showing significant reductions in symptoms. Well, these are poorly done studies. In one study, Gatlin and Kaplan, 2009, presented results from 358 self-identified bipolar individuals, 120 men, 238 women, who purchased Empower Plus from True Hope's website, subsequently filled out a symptom reporting checklist by themselves using the company's self-monitoring form. Self-monitoring. The diagnosis of bipolar was not confirmed by a mental health professional for any of the individuals. They didn't know how many had bipolar 1 versus bipolar 2 versus cyclothymia. If you're going to ultimately claim that a treatment reduces symptoms and the severity of an illness, you better confirm the clinical diagnosis. Of the 358 participants in the primary sample, only 136 were taking a mood stabilizer, lithium or divalproic sodium. So if maybe about a third were actually taking medicine. So this first-line treatment for bipolar that they were taking, then maybe 145 were taking antidepressants, 75 were on antipsychotics, 57 on anxiolytics. But they self-reported feeling better after taking the supplements. Now, these True Hope people basically convince people to go off the prescribed medication, they say, little by little, and they tell them they should take this supplement instead. And what happened in this case is somebody died. He killed his father. There's other cases in the news and in the media where people that are taking these supplements have horrible outcomes, including killing themselves. And go figure, the guy's wife selling the stuff, she killed herself too. Now we've all heard of David Stefan and his wife by now, Colette and David, they were actually convicted for failing to provide the necessities of life for their 19-month-old son, Ezekiel, who died of meningitis in 2012. So, of course, they appealed. Their sentences were stayed, though, in November 2017, now pending a ruling from Supreme Court of Canada scheduled for May, which is not very long for now. The Lethbridge jury found the couple guilty in 2016. During the trial, jurors heard the Stefans use natural remedies, homemade smoothies containing hot pepper, ginger root, horseradish, and onion. Despite the fact that the BK boy became so stiff he couldn't sit in a car seat, the Stefans did not call for medical assistance until Ezekiel stopped breathing. Then he was rushed to the local hospital, but declared dead after being transported to Calgary. David's sentence was 4 months in jail. Colette was given 3 months of house arrest. They were both ordered to complete 240 hours of community service and must take their surviving children to a medical doctor at least once a year. The Stefans live in Nelson, BC now with their three sons and are expecting another child who is due in November last year. Nice.
Who is due in November last year.
What's that?
I guess I assume that they've had since
that kid. Well, yes. In November.
I didn't know that. No.
Well, Lolly had another kid. Yay. But they have to take the kids to the doctor once a year. So now we come to the Wellness Expo.
All right. There we go. Which is coming up in March.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, this Wellness Expo says Stefan works for a research-based organization.
Yeah.
That offers nutrient supplementation in effort to improve brain and thyroid function naturally.
Yeah, it's amazing what he can do in his farm. He must have an incredible laboratory, you know, thousands of researchers.
They have forms for you to fill out to tell them how wonderfully you're doing on their pig pills.
Yeah, self-reported data. Oh, I just love that. It is the highest quality research. Number one.
I like to see how the questions are framed as well. You know.
Kidding. Yeah.
Do you feel better?
We can just go. We can download one ourselves.
Probably.
Well, I love that the pig pills guy when they got together with some specialists and created scripts and called into the call center and pretty much every time they, you know, the serious meant, you know, what they were describing was serious mental problems. And they said, you know, what should I do? Should I go off my meds? And they said, yes.
Yeah, you should go off your meds. Look, these pills work on pigs.
Health Canada
should destroy them. Essentially saying that everything to do with the mind is nutrient-based, and basically any mental illness that you have is simply because you're not getting the right nutrients.
Yeah, right. Has nothing to do with neurotransmitters.
It's also insulting.
Yeah.
It's insulting to people who have schizophrenia, bipolar, depression. I've had severe depression that I've taken Wellbutrin for because it was anxiety-based and stress-related depression. To tell me, oh, you just weren't eating right. Excuse me. I was a health nut. I exercised regularly. I ate all my fruits and vegetables. I followed the Canada Health Guide, especially when I was pregnant. I still was extremely depressed after I had my son and got...
No, you had postpartum.
And to tell me that I wasn't eating properly? Screw you.
Yeah.
You forgot to make a smoothie out of your placenta.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so evil.
That's so disgusting. Yeah, sorry. Cannibalism mixed with eating parts of your child, because the placenta is half the mother's tissue and half the baby's tissue. It's all blood vessels.
That's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on the internet.
And they're like, oh, there's still
people
hormones.
Do this.
No, there isn't. The hormones break down almost immediately after that thing dies. You're eating dead tissue.
Well, it's pretty much what you eat anyway, right? I mean, steak is dead tissue.
Yeah, but this is dead, raw stuff they're putting into smoothies. It's so disgusting. And if you cook it, you're destroying...
Yeah.
The thing,
lots of iron, though.
There's not enough hormones in there to get rid of your depression. I'm sorry. You can have all the postpartum or whatever you're claiming to have at the time and why you're eating your placenta. But eating that placenta is not going to help you any more than eating a steak.
Hey, guess what I'm going to have at our next barbecue this summer.
So disgusting.
It is. I'm sorry.
When I first heard that, I was like, you people are insane. This was before I learned to try to be tactful on the internet. I was just blown out. You're nuts.
Oh, what's the point of being tactful? That's so unfun.
You get unfriended less when you're tactful.
So?
And you open the dialogue. In fact, I found some people I've managed to convince to vaccinate their children like once every 10 years. That's a win. Mm. But most of the time they unfriend me because they're pissed at me.
Yeah. But it doesn't bother
one
me.
Mind and, you know,
save a kid. Matter. Unlike this kid, exactly. This kid is dead. And this father, to quote the article, convicted of killing your child. You failed to provide the necessities of life. Your child was so stiff, he couldn't sit in a car seat. Yeah. You still didn't take him to a doctor. And when you were talking about meningitis, like this, the meningitis could even have been a secondary infection, because usually meningitis, well, here they warn you, seeking medical attention as soon as symptoms appear, and this is on meningitis.ca, is vital. Parents should particularly be aware of symptoms in infants and young children because they often appear mildly, but can quickly and alarmingly escalate, which is exactly what happened in this case.
Did you see his rant on Facebook, David Stephan?
I got too much into it.
I can't watch it all.
Yeah,
I got
it all
download from cbc.ca.
It's very conspiracy
Someone
theory.
Listen to it.
I'm going to try, but I just didn't have time before the show. But yeah.
He says it was
2 minutes into it, and I'm like,
whole thing where he was deplatformed was because
by trolls.
Of
pharmaceutical
trolls.
He was going on about trolls.
And yeah. Pharmaceutical trolls.
Yeah, well, and he was complaining about the judges. He was saying the judges were so biased and they were wrong and yada yada, and that's why we're going to take this to the Supreme Court.
Appeal.
Yeah, this is a guy who's not willing to even be accountable for his role.
No, he takes no responsibility at all. No.
Yeah.
Mistakes were made, but
not by me. Has shown some remorse. He's shown exactly zero. And people give him a, you know, platform. And he has a nerve to call people who are...
They give him $150,000. They gave him $150,000 in donations, too.
Yeah.
That's the response you get from saying, oh, this is Big Pharma's fault. This is the ambulance driver's fault. I mean, He's playing the victim.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. It's
more victimhood status.
He's saying that that people attacked Sobeys and because Sobeys pulled their
attacked complaining is attacking. Like, yeah,
this is legitimate. It's not even protest. What's the term I'm looking for? That, you know, expressing a concern to a sponsor by, you know, like boycotting the store that you know, Sobeys was actually sponsoring the event, series of events. Yeah. So they withdrew their sponsorship, and he called that attacking Sobeys. It's not attacking Sobeys. That's saying, look, guys, you need to be responsible citizens. You know, and
why
take
are
a look.
You
why are you
supporting someone
this?
Who is convicted of killing their child?
Well, he said, well, it's not really convicted of killing, but it convicted of failing to supply the necessaries of life,
which is him.
Yeah. To me, it's still killed him. But to say killed him is
well, they framing saw it this child was stiff as a board. They only gave him
his
their
actions.
Supplements and some wacky smoothies, and were like, "Oh, he'll be fine."
His actions resulted
in
the death.
And then tried
to
blame the ambulance driver when your kid stops breathing. You didn't phone the ambulance until he stopped breathing.
Yeah.
Essentially, you let your child die.
He says there was no symptoms that day. And I just don't believe it.
Well, yeah,
he was just he was stiff as a board, and then suddenly he was running around and was just fine. And
yeah, their own
testimony
says there was something wrong. Right?
Liar.
They knew something was wrong.
Now he's lying.
Yeah. Well, we can't say he's lying because
I was quite proud of Sobeys' statement, actually. The email said Sobeys has withdrawn its sponsorship from the Health and Wellness Expos of Canada and will not be associated with future events. Supporting the well-being of Canadians is central to our purpose as a company. We entered a sponsorship with the best intention of advancing our focus on eating well, but cannot support the choice that Health and Wellness Expos of Canada has made on the selection of David Stefana as keynote speaker. We are conducting a review of our processes and governance on these types of sponsorships. So, of course, as a result of two major sponsors dropping Health and Wellness Expos of Canada, well, Stefan got dropped as a speaker, but he had previously spoken at the Vancouver Expo, and I think you said he also was at one in Saskatchewan, Randy.
Sorry, was that?
Was he was he already had spoken at the Saskatchewan?
Had he already spoken? I suspect
he did at Vancouver.
I think he did, but that's when the problem started for him, and when the pharmaceutical trolls started complaining. Of course, we you know what, we don't notice these things. We don't, you know, skeptics don't, you know, frequent these things. There's some so there's some that do, like they keep up with what's going on in the wishy-washy woo world, but if it wasn't on people's radar, then when I guess a couple of news items appeared, probably PR.
Saying, look, David PSAs Stefan is speaking, and people are like, isn't he convicted?
So that's probably when this
problem
started.
Isn't that rather alarming that a health and wellness expo is supporting someone who let their child die of meningitis? Isn't that rather alarming to most parents?
Well, he says there's no evidence it was meningitis.
Probably. You know, it's a niche audience, I think, that attends those kinds of things, right? Although a big niche audience.
I don't know, they're too big for my liking.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What do you do?
Well, this was a Canada-wide
I want to know why, what the reason for even inviting him was. I mean, are you kidding me?
I know.
Whose brainchild
was that? Okay.
Because he met with... Okay, who is the owner? Rick Thiessen. Rick Thiessen, the owner of Health and Wellness Expo of Canada, said he met with Stefan last year, and that's when they came up with this, evidence-based thyroid crap. But Thiessen has said since that the products at his shows aren't good for everybody. Yeah. They're basically good for some people for some things. That's why we do the Wellness Expo. It's an interactive way to find out about products and services. It's more legitimate than the internet. So you can come listen to David Stefan whine about how the ambulance driver killed his kid and how the judges were so yeah. you know, mean.
Yeah, that's basically what most of that mouth. Rant was that, about. Yeah.
Rick Thiessen was saying that, oh, come to David yourself and get the story from him. Then they backpedaled, and since they lost two major sponsors, they finally dumped him.
In other words, get the one-sided story. Just the one side.
I'm curious about other displays at this expo, like whether like there's a booth for Health Canada and stuff there. Any like
no? Are you kidding me?
That would be interesting. No, like legitimate health organizations. Right?
I bet you there's still a True Hope booth. I bet there's still a True Hope booth there.
I've been to one of these.
I'm losing faith in humanity.
Nate Phelps and a couple other people were there, and you had a Christian Science. Booth. Of course, someone who's wearing glasses.
Better and save your children.
I mean, like Nate pointed out, why do you have glasses if Christian Science is so good at healing? Why do you need glasses?
Yeah, really.
There was Pranic.
Seeing is just a wish stuff. When you have glasses. Look, God gave me glasses.
Yeah. Yeah, no, your optometrist did, but anyway. And so yeah, what is with that? I mean, we're so perfect, right? We're, you know, according to Christian Science, we're so perfect. And yet, my eyesight,
and that's why we're blind.
My reading distance is now past my arm length, right? And I'm like, that's really sad. I'm getting old. I don't like getting old.
Me
it's not
too.
Fun.
I'm the same. I'm like, but
yeah,
I'm gonna drink it away.
Progressive. You need a drink? I need a drink.
Well, I do, but I'm good.
Okay.
I should have started.
My water. I've got wine.
I was going to actually drink some wine, but I didn't
I need
do that.
To refill.
What else we got?
I can't drink as much with all the allergy meds I'm taking.
We do have that. Where's that? George. Where is it? Okay. I didn't put this on the list, but anyway, this is from Ray Comfort. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
You know, excuse me. I'll be right back.
Okay, you're gonna get a drink.
She needs
okay.
a drink first.
Okay, well, she can hear me through the speakers. She can hear me through the speakers. So it's a one way conversation now. Okay, this is Living Waters. You know, Ray Comfort's vehicle, and you know, people that complain when school shootings happen in the United States. Oh, and want gun control.
What about the church shootings?
And yeah, that's what I keep saying. What about church shootings? And but anyway, and they say don't politicize this. Well, Rake can politicize this apparently. So here we go. The real reason why school shootings happen. The real reason. Yeah.
They should be rich.
I'm going to skip the first. It's going to go straight to the second paragraph. Welcome to a nation that has forsaken the Ten Commandments, lost the fear of God, and has a generation without moral guidance, where prayer is asked for the victims' families, but the God to whom we are praying is ignored. Yeah.
Is that why we got
Trump? Your voice.
Yeah. Sorry,
so well.
Too well. If I wanted to get rich,
you don't really sound like
Ray
Comfort, but you sound like what he should sound like. I
can't
guess,
do
right?
New Zealand. I can't do New Zealand accent. it would suck. And I can't. It's a banana. It's a banana. Yeah.
But there's a great banana shortage lately. I can't find a single one at Superstore anymore, and that's three weeks now. What the heck is going on?
Welcome to America, where the church has lost the preserving influence of salt and, salt was used as a preservative, and guidance of light. As far as the world is concerned, is irrelevant. I wish. Yeah. I wish. I really wish. Ray, you really put your finger on the pulse of the problem. No, I don't think so.
How does he explain the church shootings?
He doesn't. That's the whole point.
I think he explained how they got Trump. They seem to think he's the savior.
Oh, that's just... Trump believes in himself. That's it. If you know, we get...
All but the evangelicals are still... Sent one or
but he believes he's God.
The evangelicals are still saying that.
Some of them are at least vocal ones. Some of them.
37% still. 35%.
shocking.
Yeah.
But more than that, think the Earth is only 6,000 years old, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Ray, fail.
Yeah, way to go, Ray. Way to capitalize on human tragedy.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You know, and to just people... people say that this we shouldn't be politicizing this, and in terms of stopping school shootings, when should we? When? If not, then when?
Randy, I've heard this one. There's too many guns out there now. There's nothing you can do.
Australia did. They did.
There was some voluntary... People are actually taking their guns and destroying them now. So I think there might even be voluntary, people out there that are in favor of, sensible gun laws.
Yeah, it's going to take more than gun control.
It seems like the discourse is all extreme. Like, oh, they want to take away our guns when that's just not the case, right?
It's but let's arm teachers.
Yeah. Oh,
the guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was a teacher.
What could go wrong?
I mean, mind you, they're saying, like ones that are already like from the military or have some kind of training. Yeah. So they're not saying all teachers, but still. Wow, what's the world come to?
I've heard a number of military people.
Someone did the math on arming 20% of teachers. They can't do it. Oh, but they'll give the teacher a bonus if they do it themselves. Pay for the training, pay for this, pay for that. Oh, you might get a $10 bonus.
Like they have the time. Wow.
I mean, then it's affordable. The thing is, they actually went and did at a gun place. They had some teachers there, and they did a scenario where there was a shooter, and some students got shot too, and the guy's like, well, sometimes if you shoot one or two, you might save 30.
And what he said about the guard on duty was pretty.
You mean you talk about the student, right?
No, it was he was saying the guard.
There was a guy
was
with a gun at the school.
Yeah.
No, but I think the student was the one that defended him and said, I wouldn't want to put myself in the crossfire either. Because quite a few, I can't remember which student specifically, but I thought it was a student that had said that.
It could very well be. A lot of people are saying that. They're like, this kid had an AR-15. That guy had this. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
you're going to accidentally shoot a kid to get at the guy with the AR-15. And then by this point, they'll be checking all the gunshot wounds for who shot whom.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, when you have people running around that are in plain clothes with guns, how do you know which one is the shooter and which are defending? Like, you don't.
Exactly,
police aren't going to know.
Are we going to give all cops AR-15s now just so they can run into schools and shoot it up with the other guy with the AR-15? Is that going to help things?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take more than the gun control laws to curb the gun violence in the United States. It's not enough.
Yeah, it's got to have some social buy-in. Right?
Yeah, it's a culture of
more
the gun.
More social buy-in.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a real... It's
not
weird.
Like we don't have guns here in Canada. We just have like this social
sensible laws.
People use it go hunting.
You can't say that people don't get guns, that shouldn't get them. But
you can't get an AR-15.
We have restricted arms. You can't have an AR-15. Yeah. You can't be walking around with an AR-15 in Canada.
So handguns are very, very restricted in Canada.
And so we're AR-15s. I don't think an AR-15 is a handgun.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying that even handguns are heavily restricted.
Yeah, even handguns have to be transported with
trigger guard.
A trigger lock in a locked
trigger
case.
Lock, yeah.
And
a
lock have to
case.
Be stored in, basically,
yeah,
safe, right?
Yeah, you have to store ammunition and the weapon in different places and et cetera.
Oh, I didn't know that, but I know that, you have to get these metal safes or whatever to store your guns in.
Gun safe,
Yeah, my dad's got some cool antique rifles and stuff like that because, he's inherited interesting...
Yeah, there's a real mythology
store them properly.
That the Republicans...
Them, register, whatever,
Well, it'd be funny if they did start with how to handle guns safely. You've all got to have them in safes. You got to transport them with trigger locks, and a whole bunch of people get their guns taken away for not doing that. I would personally love to see that, but, of course... Yeah, what year?
It's too ingrained.
2075 or something.
Very difficult to change it. I don't know what it would take. Gun control
is
not.
Well, I mean, I hope the students have some bearing on the discussion, right? Yeah. I'm really excited to see how they're standing up and speaking out like that, right?
Yeah, well, and I hope they keep that way and start forming government, because that's the only way it's going to start changing.
Have you ever seen that commercial on where the guy comes into, I guess he's a disgruntled ex-employee, comes into the office with his musket and shoots, boom,
yes,
and
I
then
have seen
and
that.
Then while he's reloading, everybody's gone.
They're cleaning it with a brush.
I mean, you know, that's true. Yeah, the Second Amendment was written at a time when the height of technology was the musket, front loading rifle, or not even a rifle. Yeah.
They would never have imagined that they'd be shooting up schools at this point in human history back then.
I don't think you could aim properly at those things either, right? I don't know anything about it, but, you know, it seems they weren't particularly accurate, shall we say?
No, they were not. The muskets were
terribly
inaccurate.
No one would want to be in a zombie apocalypse with
black
one.
Black powder. No, it just doesn't apply today. I mean, and it, you know, we don't have militias except the ones that the FBI is watching 24/7 in, you know, Michigan militia, those kinds of people. They're true, like, woohoo, you know.
I'm going to put some pressure on Beach to call in, because she's saying some interesting things.
Yeah.
The phone number's right there.
Yeah, the phone number's right at the bottom. Yeah, anybody wants to call in, it's the phone lines are open. 1-587-288-1067. There you go.
Last us with anything you like.
There are well-trained cops shooting innocent people, so no problem arming teachers. Yeah. And she's like, you know, sarcastic, obviously. Someone who wants to do this will just go somewhere else where the kids hang out. Since saying they should arm teachers, one teacher accidentally shot herself and another one left a gun on a toilet tank. The family of the inventor of the AR-15 said it was never meant for civilians. Says.
that was back when the reserves were. They were militiamen. Militiamen weren't really. They were civilians, but it's kind of mix. They certainly weren't regular army. I mean, the United States actually disbanded its army after the War of Insurrection. I shouldn't say that. That's the British term for it. The American Revolution is the what Americans call it. There's no context in which it means anything today. It just amazes me that, I don't know. Not calling. Okay. All right. Not calling. Okay. fine. All right. But your chat, well, she can see that the chat is up on the screen. And
yeah, anybody who wants to call in, like I said, we got kind of an angry face, what do you call it, on Facebook.
On
from
Facebook,
somebody,
I don't have Facebook.
And I don't know if they're still watching. Let me just check and see. I don't think so, but...
you know, if you're angry, examine that. Why are you angry?
You
don't agree
with me. Angry,
well, like call in and talk to us.
And vent.
Right? Yeah. I mean obviously I stepped out of that. The conversation that the angry face was... directed at was not something I was part of earlier, but you know, call in and talk to us and disagree with us. Like, we have no problem with that. In fact, I love it. Right? A good challenge,
no point
and a change in perspective or viewpoint.
Maybe we don't have all the facts. Maybe we don't have all the points.
We don't. Yeah, we don't have all the facts, which is the whole point.
In general, on any topic, if people want to challenge us, I welcome it for sure. You know, it's how I've changed perspectives over many
on a few things.
Subjects,
And Christine's changed my mind on things too. You know, that's
likewise. You know, yeah. So
you know, we
it's all
we,
good. And we're still friends.
Yeah, we're still friends. Yeah,
obviously.
I wanted to go to where is that Georgian College.
Yeah, they didn't have that course before. They were just making it up now.
Yeah,
or
I think so. Here we go. Georgian College cancels diploma in homeopathy. So this is a little. I've never heard of this college. It's in Toronto, I believe, and they. It's interesting because Georgian College says it is. This is from CBC News on February 9th. So it's a little while ago. Georgian College says it's canceling its controversial advanced diploma program. There's a beginner's diploma program in homeopathy. Okay. The announcement came just hours after the college told CBC News it had no plans to change the program, which has been criticized by doctors and scientists from across the country. I should hope so. It's bad enough that we have a college of, there's an actual, a veneer of respectability given to it by some college of, it's kind of like College of Physicians and Surgeons. It's geared towards homeopathy.
Well, there's kind of two bodies here. There's like a legit body, and then there's one that sounds like a legit body.
Yeah, that's another thing, yeah.
And I can't remember which is which and that kind of thing, but obviously if I needed to know that answer, I'd be able to find it pretty quickly.
It's kind of like Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
That's a misleading name.
Totally misleading.
Yeah. That makes them sound like an Stephen official
Pinker.
Body.
I've been reading Steven Pinker's book, and Enlightenment Now. I really enjoy it, and there are things in there that I'm learning that I suspected were the case, but he gives the actual data. And there were things that I knew were the case. And social justice people are going to hate that book. They're going to hate it because
he's been on the hate list for a long time now.
Yeah, because he goes against the narratives that are being given that racism is on the rise, sexism is on the rise. No, it's not. By any measure, it's not.
I think maybe lately it has been, but
it feels like it lately because they're more vocal again.
Somebody within the past. That's all. That's called availability bias. You hear about it on the news, therefore it's on the rise.
I think there's been some instigating by. There does seem to be an uprising of radicals on either side of things. Right?
More vocal radicals?
No. You just hear about it.
Well, maybe not more quantity wise, but if you've
just
got a voice,
louder.
Like somebody like Richard Spencer, before the internet, that would have right? Like nobody would pay the slightest fucking bit of attention to something.
No,
like
I
that.
Still don't pay any attention to
it. Right. Well, yeah, I know, but now he's got a bloody platform.
Why he's got a platform? Because some idiot punched him. Congratulations, you moron, whoever you are. You just made him a martyr. That guy should have been charged with assault and battery. That don't punch Nazis. Don't do it.
Don't punch anybody. Use your words.
Legitimize
them. And if they're going to, unless you have to defend yourself, and if there really is like an uprising that's significant, call in the fucking military.
All you're doing is giving them martyrdom. Congratulations.
And then they get followers because they're going to be like, oh, well, now this guy's getting punched for his opinion. I got to add my voice now, too.
Yeah. Just terrible. And people that I have respected have gone on to the other side of the punching Nazis things, and I just don't understand it. As one ethics professor said, I can't believe we're even asking this question. It shouldn't even occur to you to do that. You're not going back in time and killing Hitler. Times are different now. They're not going to get traction. They're just not.
Well, I think they are getting traction, or at least.
Read Steven Pinker's book.
I mean, like the same with like Antifa and stuff like that. They're getting traction, and maybe they're kind of losing out now. But for a while there was I don't know what's
it's
not really
funny.
Paying attention right now. But pardon me.
The supreme irony of all that, Antifa is that Antifa is actually recreating some of the factors which propelled Hitler into prominence. The reason that the Nazi Party went out of obscurity and into the limelight was because of communist violence. And they were the only party that was willing to do anything about it. And that's why they gained popularity. Congratulations, Antifa.
History repeats itself.
Right? Yeah, but it's not going to happen because...
Yeah. Well, that...
I have a problem with that.
They aren't communists. They're more trying.
Oh, they're communists. they're communists.
Some are outright saying they're communists and
yeah.
Antifa
anarchists and stuff like that. I mean, it's such anarchism a loose communism and movement that there's really no definition of who they are and who identifies with that movement.
I define them as idiots. You know, there you go.
Well, if, you know, violent idiots. If they're not saying, hey, you know, enact violence, and they're just challenging the narrative, I have absolutely no problem with that. That's precisely the way to do it, is use your words.
Violence, you know, underscores, I have no argument. It just underscores that. Just don't get it.
Well, I know, but, you know, like I said, it's a loose movement. Not everybody who's, you know, defining on the, I don't know, Antifa necessarily advocates violence, right? And that's also true of the other side, too, where they're, you know, like, they're not necessarily advocating violence, too. So we've got, I'd say, two pretty extreme factions that I certainly never encountered when I was growing up. Like, I always knew.
Oh, no kidding.
The element of underground kind of, you know, like this. You know, like here in Alberta, what they call that kind of little peanut zone that includes Montana, that is kind of like white supremacy, wing nuts and stuff like that. But that was always like, we kind of knew about it, but you'd never see them, you know, hit the newspaper or headlines or anything like that. They were just like totally marginalized, right? And now they're getting fucking airtime.
It depends on where you were in Alberta at the time. Yeah. Where I was, you did see it. You did have the kids at school who would be openly defending white power and things like that. Yeah. I did hear that from some classmates. I did see the skinheads. I mean, that's why my brothers were very careful, not, even though they hated what my mom did to their hair, they wouldn't shave it. So Alberta, unfortunately, we just saw a group come through and try to basically take over our high school here. But fortunately, the high school kids here weren't having it and spoke out against it. And the media here, like this was barely a year ago, I think. And my daughter left the school because of it that day. So fortunately, even though they're becoming more, I guess you could say, active now, our younger generation is shutting it down, and people like me are just embarrassed. So
yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no, I never saw anything.
My daughter's just, oh,
you know,
I
there are racists in school and stuff like that, but there was no like organized attempt to, you know, introduce racism on you know, school. Yeah, not to my knowledge.
You're in Calgary, though.
Yeah, and I went to a school where
you're in redneck, you know, country.
Lots of people from different backgrounds were there, and I don't think anybody would have dared express those sentiments because they probably had the shit beaten out of them.
It was so bad here that even I got accused of racism when I was just basically giving up the playground equipment to the new person who I didn't know. And because I used to get beat up if I didn't do that to the person taking it over, I automatically did, no matter who they were. And this kid, who was happened to be black, went running to his teacher and said I wouldn't play with him. So even I got accused of it inadvertently, but it was rampant enough in my area that the kid probably had legit other complaints. So it was pretty bad here. Like, we had no diversity in my school. There was just white people. And I remember there was this one Indian kid. He was very assertive and he did quite well. But in my whole kindergarten to grade 9 experience, I'd say I saw one black kid and one East Indian kid, and that was it. So, and then of course there was the racism, which of course I would run the other direction when it came up. When the conversations came up, I just went, whoop, I'm not part of this. So, I mean, it wasn't probably as bad as the 50s and 60s, but to this day, I broke up with racists and homophobes, like in this area as well. Like, they still talk like that here. So, it's frustrating. But then you haven't seen when the political things start. I'll start posting some of these things that I see coming up with this election coming up in Alberta, because it's going to be even more obvious. So, because I still see it on my own political page.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're running out of steam.
Well, yeah,
Well, I'm glad that college gave up the ghost on homeopathy. What, something else funny came up this week. A friend of mine in BC brought this to my attention. Y'all know Alberta, U of A, right? Somebody had copied and pasted the About Us U of A page and put it on a fake university called California South University. They basically copied and pasted U of A's About Us page to a page on their website. Tried to take out Alberta words and put in California words, but of course they messed up and left in like cities like Leduc. We all know Leduc.
White Avenue.
some things that can only be found in Edmonton, some landmarks and stuff they accidentally left in there. This website's been up for a while. It used to be Diploma Mill. But of course, people notice, like my friend, they were talking about Province of California. That was another mistake.
The Province of California. That'd be nice. Oh, wow. You can join us. Nice place to go in the winter.
A bunch of people complained, but you can't complain to the FBI or anything unless they're harming you personally, like if you can claim damages. So only basically I think the U of A can complain about it. But as of yesterday or today, the California South University page is down. It's got a 404 right now. Yeah, it's still like that. So I guess some at the U of A. I mean, the fact that Diploma Mills exist still, that people can copy and paste and put up a fake university and sell you fake diplomas. People were using this California South University as a credential, I guess, wow, too, in their writing, saying, oh, I graduated from this, I'm an expert in this. It was one case where this was happening. And the fact that homeopathy is a course, I sometimes still feel like we're stuck in the dark ages.
I guess it would be much more difficult to get away with that shit here. But I guess in the US it'd be more like kind of buyer beware, and until you actually had a reason to I guess bring that to light legislatively, in other words, get screwed over and sue them or, you know, take them to court or whatever, I guess they can get away with that shit, like Trump University did or whatever, right? Until people had people sued for damages, and that's what, you know. But we, you know, like to call yourself a university here, you actually have to show that you're...
It's accreditation. There's an accreditation process for
it. Exactly. Yeah. It's
not the case in the States. You can copy and paste and put up your own page and say you're a university, and you don't get taken down until...
Some
years.
Well, that's just it. You know, you're gonna make those challenges, just like if somebody were advertising a bullshit product, right? It stays there until somebody challenges it.
And as long as you're not making the claims on the product, you can make all the claims you want on the website.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about the advertising. If you're making bullshit claims, if you're making bullshit, you know, the product might still be whatever kind of thing, but if you're making bullshit claims and somebody calls you out,
they've been trying that with damages for decades now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And look, a kid has died and he's still got $150,000 in donations.
Oh my goodness.
The fact that people have died and killed others taking this product still doesn't give a shit. Still gets $150,000 in donations.
That's just so unbelievable to me. Like,
They just had another kid.
Well, people rationalize it away, right? So they don't. Yeah. They got an emotional investment. They don't want to be, have to admit that they admit to following quackery. I mean, it's no one wants to be wrong, so they have an investment in it.
I think maybe the public would have been kinder if he just said, oh, you know, like showed some remorse, right?
Oh, no kidding.
No, it's Big Pharma's fault. So those Big Pharma shills.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the appeals judges will feel the same way.
I think he deserves to, regardless, you know, that he shouldn't be speaking at making all kinds of money off exploiting his own child's death, right? But he has shown zero remorse.
I'm sure he's shown remorse. He just hasn't shown that he understands that he was responsible.
Responsible as convicted, and yeah. He's taking it now to the Supreme Court. So, of course, now it may be very interesting.
Yeah. Well, if I'm not mistaken, when I say shown remorse, that he didn't show remorse, I think that's actually what the court had said in their, statements too, that's right?
He won't take any responsibility for his actions, and he will do it again.
Yeah.
And he will encourage others to do the same, like at the Wellness Expo.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I'm not happy now.
Yeah, let's call it a night. Yeah, oh, good. You need some booze.
Yeah, like I said, I gotta take my allergy medicine.
That'll do it. That then take some booze and you'll be really flying.
I might fall asleep on you.
I think that's enough for tonight, and so we'll
good.
The audio was good. I believe, and certainly fixed the problems, and hopefully nobody asked me to change my settings.
I didn't hear nobody in the chat said anything about that.
Yeah,
sound
I think that's
so
been pretty good.
It was okay. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so I think we're done. So, all right. We're going to.
Good night, everybody.
Bye bye.
Night.
You've been listening to the Legion of Reason Diversion coming to you from Alberta, Canada. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to our bi-weekly podcast on iTunes and other podcatchers. Even better, subscribe to our YouTube live sessions where you can join in on the discussion. Thanks for giving us a listen.